what up? It's Killer Mike checking in at nappyafro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. Why sound rap gang, bang, bang, bang. Run the jewels on fool. And I'm gone. Yeah.
Nappyafro.com.
You are now tuned in to the illest podcast for the dopest website, period. This is the Frocast, episode 142. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. The Beard Jedi. And I'm joined by my co-host, King Germ. Say what's up to the people, bruh.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. A.k.a. Delta and all them, they're looking for new homes right now. So that's just, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. And along with the usual co-host, King Jerm, we also have a special guest to the show. He is the...
Tracy May?
Not Tracy May. This gentleman is the people's champion. He is the organizer of the community, just like Barack Obama. He will be the president-elect, just like Barack Obama. And just like Barack Obama, we're setting him up for failure. Say hello to GQ Blue.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy GQ Blue, a.k.a. the Pocket Square Kang, a.k.a. Ferragamo Guevara, a.k.a. No Plantains Needed, a.k.a. the Black Tyrion Lannister, a.k.a. Young Lord Barriss, a.k.a. Mr. Beans on an Elevator. What's going on, everybody?
Man, I mean, what brings you down to hang with us slack-jaw locals, man? What's up with that?
Oh, well, you know, I'm in my fourth term right now. You know, I'm on cruise control, you know, no term limit. So, you know, I'm mayor for life. But, you know, so I can afford to slum it with the commoners. So I do what I can.
We appreciate that, man.
Every month or something to make you the mayor? Goddamn. Fourth term?
I'm doing it for a long time.
This nigga missed three episodes of the Frocast. He four terms in.
I'm like,
I'd have a beard unless I was on the Frocast, man. I'm beer gained it out and everything.
Gotta have hair, man. Gotta have facial hair. Can't trust a grown man without facial hair.
I don't have none, fellas. Sorry.
When did that happen?
I mean, I got it.
You got the
whiskers. I got some lip fur, and but it won't grow on this. I want a beard, man. I think I'm getting one of those beard implants. I'm get a beard implant.
Hey, man, go for it, man. People getting asses.
Like the little lace. No. I'm talking about the lace front beard that
the little
dudes be wearing that they put on their face.
That lace front beard shit.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get one of those.
Man, I see nice. we got the president on the line. The Germ's line seems to be tapped. What's up with that, Germ? Germ was having technical issues. Is he there? Say something, Germ.
I'm here.
There we go. The people's champion. They were about to cut the show off if the people's champion went on.
Yeah, so it's only so long those marriages keep them listening for us. So we need the star player.
All right, so let's jump. You know how I do when I do the outline. We got to talk about sports right out the gate. Get this shit out the way. But Germ mentioned something on this outline that I think the president has issue with.
Okay.
You said the Cowboys got screwed.
We're going to say they got screwed. We're going to say that.
So we're talking about the catch, the Dez Bryant catch, no catch.
Yeah. Because by rule, that was not a catch. But everybody know that rule stinks because, come on, that was a catch, man. Everybody at home know that was a catch. Except for people in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure everybody else in the nation felt like that was a catch. And, you know, but like I said, the rule is the rule. But let's be honest, that was a catch. I mean,
I think that was a catch.
Great catch by Dez Bryant.
I think there was a catch. I mean, he made the catch.
Cowboys. I hate Cowboys.
I agree. Agree.
And he made the catch. He falls to the ground. I mean, hit the ground and he...
Germ, your audio is killing it right now. Germ is all thought wires.
That sounds better.
He's supposed to be on the Beats headphones this week. We got no Germ.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yep, now we can hear you.
Okay, no echo?
No echo.
Okay, well, we're going to do it this way then. No headphones. Normal.
When I sent you the outline, GQ Blue, you said the Cowboys didn't get screwed.
I said the Cowboys didn't get screwed because they still gave us the ball with over 4 minutes left. And the greatest quarterback of our time and your dad's time Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. Aaron Godgers, because he kind of plays like God. And they would march around the field when it only needed a field goal to win. I'll also say this. I think somebody in Detroit practices voodoo. First, the Cowboys don't get that call. It's not a catch. And then Jim Schwartz gets fired from Buffalo. If y'all remember, Jim Schwartz made them carry him out on their shoulders when they beat the Lions earlier this year. And that nigga's ridiculous.
Why did he get fired?
Because Rex Ryan fired him when he got there.
Oh, okay. he bringing in this whole new regime. Question.
I'm just saying.
Why does Rex Ryan still have a job in the NFL?
Because he took over the exact same team. Because he took over the exact same team. A really good defense with no offense.
Listen, he doesn't care. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I just don't get it. And this whole coaching carousel that's going on, I don't see not one black coach getting hired. Not saying that you need to hire a black coach, but it seems like everybody knows who their coach is, who they want from the gate, and they're getting who they want. So this Rooney Rule, man, this is some bullshit, man.
Jess got a black coach now.
Oh, they do?
Dallas,
I mean?
What's his face?
If you say Romeo Crennel, I'm going to throw up right on this show.
No. Man. Damn, I can't think of the nigga's name. Todd Boyles. Todd Boyles.
Okay, he did get a job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Too bad going to the Jets.
You know what? I heard his name for every job. I was like, he's the only black guy they trying to hire. I heard him for the Falcon job. I heard him for every job. Okay, at least one guy hired. Okay, Now we got three black guys in the NFL now. Awesome.
Hey, your boy Tomlin, he might be on his way out after a while.
Yeah, he can't get rid of Tomlin. He got a ring. He fits the Pittsburgh work ethic. Like, that's him. Like, you know, Dick LeBeau gone now, so they're gonna get a better defense. I mean, Dick LeBeau's 77 years old. You know, it was time for him to step down. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
So, do we have picks for the Super Bowl? Are we going all out?
That'd be all right.
I'm going with the
man. I mean, my pick is out. I had the Cowboys winning.
This nigga audio is trash today.
But I wireless the string again, man. I'm picking the Packers and the Patriots, man. We're gonna get a rematch from earlier. I don't trust Andrew Luck yet. He's a great quarterback, but I don't trust him yet.
Beating Tom Brady. I got him beating Tom Brady next week, man.
I don't know. I'm interested to see, man. I still think the Patriots gonna win it all, bro. I think this is the Patriots year, and I hate the motherfuckers, but they find a way to get this shit done, man. I don't understand. I don't think Luck is going to win until he get a main streak. You can't be that polite and win the Super Bowl, though. That motherfucker is too nice. Somebody need to knock him the fuck out, and, you know, he need to get his shit together. But speaking of people getting knocked out, goddamn Oregon, Ohio State beat the shit. What's going on, bro? Like, the score shows one thing, but if you watch the game, Ohio State was running through them cats. What the hell's up with that, man? Congrats, Ohio State, I guess.
Finesse, no flex, man.
Shit. I mean, for Oregon to be spending all that money on uniforms and stadiums and player centers and shit, they have no rings, bro. What else
is going to take? I mean, Oregon really, they let Nike, they like Nike's little bitch. And you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Nike was like, can we experiment with y'all? And they're like, yes. You know what I'm saying? So, no, they're not going to never win a title because they don't have. Okay, I'm looking around. Make sure listen to their black players talk. Then go to the team. Then go to the team that beat them and listen to their black players talk. That's the difference. You know what I'm saying?
So it comes down to the capital B and the lowercase b.
Exactly. You're not gonna win a title with lowercase.
Damn. Hey man, it helped Oregon. I mean, if we remember Oregon before the Nike partnership. Again, they were nothing.
Every time they lose to a lowercase b. I mean, they lose to an uppercase b quarterback. Cam Newton, nigga. Damn. This one quarterback that just beat him. He only played three games. Remember, his famous statement was, they don't bring us to, what did he say? We ain't come to Ohio State.
To play school.
To play school. Come on, man, play school.
I mean, that's kind of a point. I mean, his first name is Cardell. And his last Cardell. Name is
Joe. He got himself 12 gauge.
Shit.
6'5". Hey, but shout out to Ezekiel. What was his last name?
Shit, I can't think of his name. It's Ezekiel
St. Elliott. Louis nigga. St. Yeah. Louis nigga. Ezekiel, number 15 for Ohio State, 240
with the,
yards.
With the midriff?
Hey, yes. Hey, that's a new style. That's what the kids do now. They rock. They want to show their abs off, man. So, you know, I don't understand. You know, back in the day, you know, Saul Wright days, they had the short jerseys and, you know, and his stomachs out. So I guess it's, you know, all coming around.
Throwback.
Throwback. Yeah. We had the mesh jerseys. Yeah, man.
You know.
The fishnet.
Yeah, the big shoulder.
This thing, we got to hope Germ's audio gets better as this show goes on, man. His audio is trash today. And it's fucked up because we're going right into the TV talk part of the show. I figured that we got GQ on, so he should probably speak on this first. Sorority Sisters got canceled after all that talk. After,
woo-hoo.
I think it was 10 million people watched the first episode or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to back down. People started pulling their little ads. And now Sorority Sisters not only gets canceled, but they showing the last three episodes all on Friday. Like, let's get it over with. Let's get it done. Here you go. How do you feel about that, bro? You know, fresh off of Founders Day and all that good stuff.
And also, the AKA and the Delta both got suspended.
How about that?
So the Delta got suspended too?
Uh-huh.
Which one, Priyanka or all of them?
I never watched the show.
I watched the show. I liked the show. You know what I mean?
And it's funny because I did not necessarily watch it because of protests. I didn't watch it because it came on when wrestling came on and football was on. So it was like, it's already hard enough for me to switch between those two effectively and tweet about both of them at the same time. So,
yeah, you know, I watch it online and I tweet about it when I watch it. I might be tweeting about it Wednesday at damn 2 p.m.
So I think it's actually your fault that they got canceled because they were fine until you started following.
No, sorry. I swear to God, you must have watched the episode.
I didn't watch. I watched the first episode for about 30 minutes. And then
That did it right there. What do you mean?
Nigga, that was when it first came on.
So that you doomed it.
They had another five or six episodes after that.
No, it's all right. They did two episodes. Then they had two shows, and then they had like a dialogue show where they sat down and talked about everything. And then you know, so they only really, I think the episode, I mean, they only had like four or five shows. I mean, excuse me, it's only been four shows.
Right, so, but they've got three new ones airing Friday.
Yeah, that's the whole season. Show up.
That's the whole season. That's it.
Yeah.
So how's that my fault again?
Because you watched first episode. They ain't even filmed 13 episodes, dog. How did they only film 7 episodes, man? Come on, man. That ain't right.
Ain't my fault. Fuck
I mean, the show has no, they have no direction. I mean, it's just.
It's just.
Like, I don't.
Mad women.
GQ, do you hang with your sorority brothers that much?
Whoa.
excuse me. Frat brothers.
Jesus you Christ. Hate them.
My bad, it's all right. I like that. I went to community college, man. Come on, man. Give me a break.
Do I hang out with my frat brothers like that often?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said the show is unrealistic, because I don't know. Like, women don't hang together like that. You know, they're like, oh, only people I hang around my sorority. Like, they, man, a whole, excuse me.
But also, too, for me, I don't have the typical fraternity experience for the fact that I was online solo. So I don't have any line brothers, so. I mean, but
all these girls are not lying sisters. They're just sororers.
So the people I go to in my chapter, one is a doctor now, and one is writing books and fighting poverty in India right now. So those are my frat brothers, and I see them. Everybody else I see about maybe once or twice a month.
Okay, question, GQ Blue. Let's say one of the head dudes in your, I'm not gonna say your fraternity because I don't know if you want to get in trouble, came to you and said, "Yo, we heard the Frocast. You suspended for being on the Frocast for saying." How would you feel? Would you be upset or
I'd probably say, "Nigga, please." Okay. I probably would, and keep it moving.
So, how do you feel about the girls getting suspended from their chapter, from their for sororities for being on the show? Like, do you think that's fair to them?
Not at all, because I mean, so it's so much stuff that happens, and it's so much scandal with so many different people that you know about. I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of scandalous deltas and AKAs.
K. Michelle.
That for one. But I mean,
like, why the heck came out and said, "K. Michelle, you suspended from the Deltas." Like, she cut up more than these girls on these shows. These girls on the show have been respectful. And like, why is she still able to throw up her diamond or whatever they call it, triangle, I don't know what it is. And I went to community college.
Pyramid. I mean, especially for the fact that we all got social media now. So I see these scandalous men and women on the daily. But because it's out of house now, now we're going to pitch a fit about it.
Yes.
To me, it's stupid. And to me, I hate that it was so much collective energy used for that.
For that. I mean, thank you.
I mean, there's so many different issues just this past week, let alone past year, we should consistently be on, and y'all use y'all power for that.
To get this show on.
Mind you, I haven't seen a coordinated MPAC effort around Ferguson, anything outside of it. There's been some organizations individually that have put out some kind of statement, but as a collective, like, I'm seeing MPAC watermarked official letters going out from all nine presidents and everything like that, talking about we're going to organize and boycott and do this and that, and at this time, don't do this, and call in at this time. Man, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Wow. Wow. Guess you feel a certain kind of way about that one.
I mean, because you're just going to go back to live tweeting Love and Hip Hop anyway. It's the exact same shit. So let's go get all these shows up off the air. Then miss me with it.
I agree with you.
And they wonder why people make fun of us now. I mean, to me, my thing has always been, you're black first. If you find this degrading, but are gonna go watch Love and Hip Hop or Bad Girls Club, to me it's the exact same thing. Now also, I don't mind you saying, hey, this is not offend me. I can compartmentalize and understand this is entertainment. This is not my view of my people and my race. If you can say that and do that, fine. But you can't play both sides of the field and get fake upset. To me,
I agree with you, man. It makes sense to me. Like I said, I saw 30 minutes and I was done with that show. So fuck that show. Sorry, Germ. Sorry you missed one of your shows. One of your better shows is coming back, man. Friday Night Tights is coming back on, man.
Of course, man. I've been watching the old episodes again, just, you know, reliving all the glory. You know,
Little Tykes is back on, man. Make sure y'all watch that. You know, we'll be talking about it as the Frocast goes on. Empire. GQ, did you get a chance to watch Empire at all?
I haven't, but I heard somebody got threw away.
Yeah, so for most of you people, you're pretty sure, I'm pretty sure you've seen what Empire is about. The musical family that made the label, and the father runs the label. The mother was in jail because she got locked up for some drug trafficking incident like 13 years before when the company was just starting. The couple have three sons. There is the gay son. There's the true artist son that raps. And then there's the business-minded son that's kind of a Carlton of the group. And that's pretty much the premise of the show. It's trying to figure out, The father who runs the label, Empire, he has cancer or some shit. ACS or some shit. Like it's something that I think it's ACS. Is that what we're doing the water bucket challenge for?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he has. ALS. I think that's what he has.
It's the Lou Gehrig disease.
So he's got ALS, conveniently. And he's going to die. And he's trying to figure out which one of his three sons is going to take over the label. Obviously, it's not the gay son because the mom likes the gay son. And he doesn't like the gay son because you can't be gay in the black community. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, when his son came out wearing his mom's heels and a scarf, the father picked him up and threw him in the trash. That's what you're supposed to
do. Can you explain that scene to me? Because I've just heard it. I've seen it in multiple tweets, but I don't know how it actually happened. So did he just just chuckle, like hit him with the NBA fadeaway in the trash can?
Although that would have been awesome. Nah. So
how old is this kid?
He's maybe four or five, some shit like that. So the family and all the members that are still with Empire Records are all in the house. It's a big ass house party. And they're playing cards, and the kid comes in the middle of the living room with the goddamn heels on the scarf and just walks in. And the dad sees him and goes ape shit, picks him up, and of course the mom comes out screaming, "No, no, you can't do that!" Walks down the steps outside and just puts him in the trash can.
Does he gently put him in? Is he
Yeah, he just put him down. It wasn't a throw. It was, you know, it was just the fact that it was a trash can. That, you know, and allegedly this happened. Lee Daniels says that Lee Daniels is one of the, I think he's writing or he's helping produce the show. Mm-hmm. He's openly gay. He does a lot of plays in Hollywood. Lee Daniels is like the other Tyler Perry. And apparently Lee Daniels said that that happened to him. He walked into the middle of the living room with his father playing cards. His dad got upset and whooped his ass, is what he literally said. And then he did it again the following week.
So that's as ridiculous as it sounds. It's allegedly based on a true story. My take on the whole show is that people are upset because the drugs and all that kind of stuff is cliche, but yeah, it's like, what do you expect? Why would the show? Because if the show had been different, if the guy had made the label from a Fortune 500 company that he ran, y'all wouldn't be watching that shit. If there was no drugs involved, you wouldn't be watching that shit. Y'all don't like rappers who don't have a struggle. We've noticed this. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of had to put that shit in there for you, motherfuckers. That's why. But just like most of Tyler Perry movies, all of the personalities and stories are huge and big and inflated. And it's a little ridiculous. The gay dude is extra gay and don't want to come out. The rapper dude, he's got talent, but he's stupid as shit. The business dude that don't get along with black folks, he's conniving and got his own ways. You know what I'm saying? It's all cliches. The mom is definitely an angry, strong black mom. And the dad that's the owner is fucking young bitches. It's all cliche shit, but I think it's a show we need to watch. If that makes sense at all.
Don't it come on tonight?
Yeah, it comes on tonight. We're recording, so you have to catch the replay or something. It's probably on demand. It's on Fox, and Fox is loving. You know, they had 20 million people watch the premiere.
Wow.
So for Fox, who is known for slandering anything brown, this is good for them. So that's why
they're pushing. Black Twitter, man. I feel like Black Twitter is the one that gave 20 million people.
I think Black Twitter is pretty much running the world right now. Wait, if there was 20 a way million. To monitor 20 million.
Is that beating Scandal?
For a debut, maybe. I don't know that it's beating Scandal on a regular night. You know what I mean? Still, like, we'd have to see.
Are women still asking us to earn them?
I don't know. You know what? I kind of fell off the Scandal bandwagon, bro.
Wow. It's all right for long. What the hell did happen? I didn't grow a beard and miss 10 episodes and come back and you don't like Kerry Washington no more?
No, I didn't say that. Let's not go that far. I missed like an episode or two. And when you miss an episode of Scandal, you have to get away from social media completely because everyone will ruin it for you. And one episode became two episodes became three and I just missed the whole season. I missed it. So I'm going to have to go back and binge watch it on Netflix or something like that.
So can I tell you how much of a scumbag I am?
Why?
I didn't see Scandal when everybody else saw it. I came in maybe season two, and then I saw some cut scenes with some Kerry Washington. Looks like some really scantily clad sex scenes that I wanted to see. So I played on demand the first season. First season, very campy, kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of type of show. I was like, okay, it's kind of maybe interesting. I watched one episode, okay, didn't pick up on it again. I see the season that everybody else is watching. Man, you got FBI secrets and planes, you know, shooting M5s and shit. I don't know what the hell happened. It's like it's like the game when it went to BET.
I mean, well, they had to do that for the male audience. They had to get a little gory and everything because they knew they had men watching, so they had to, you know, up the ante and add some more, you know, stuff to it to keep the men watching. So that's when you get all the that's where all the blood and stuff coming from now. You know, you got motherfuckers getting their necks cut, you know, crazy shit.
I'm like, y'all trying to put Game of Thrones style up in here?
Yeah, I mean, network TV is pushing the limits, man. They're going for it now.
When they had old girl, you know, it's a spoiler, I guess, but it's from like last season. So when they had the older chick beat the dude to death, like she stabbed him with a letter opener, I believe it was, stabbed him in the neck in the fucking White House. I was like, what country does an old 60-year-old white woman that works for the White House stab a dude in the White House?
But you know why she did it? But she was a Christian. You understand? And she was like, you know, she did, the devil took over. You know,
so the Christian did a Muslim act. Huh?
Gay, she a staunch Christian.
That's a Muslim act. She's a staunch. Muslims
she's
are the
like, she's a heavy Bible thumper. And her husband gay. Like, oh my God, abomination! She couldn't take it. Lost her mind.
Hey. That is what the Muslims do. Muslims are the terrorists, not Christians.
Nah, stop.
Get it right.
That's sarcasm.
Like, yeah, right. Please tell him, G.
I don't know that's coming through. That's just sarcasm. that might have been a little too highbrow for the average listener.
Sorry. That was definite sarcasm. It was definite sarcasm. We all know that Christians kill more people. Anyway.
I was about to say something, right? I was like, man, I was going to be quiet on that one. I was like, please let my audio mess up on this.
Shit. And just so you people know, nappyafro.com does not promote any terrorist acts.
Yes.
That's we're the terrorists. So
God damn. I mean,
moving on, Germ, Suits comes back on in 2 weeks.
Yes, I heard.
I'm ready to see my boy Lewis lit with his name on the wall.
He went out like a G. He told him.
Still ain't seen Suits.
Huh?
Still ain't seen Suits. Now, they're still shooting it, so I probably shouldn't watch.
Yeah. Stay away, son.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, sorry. You can't really do nothing right now. They're a couple of seasons in, man. So you might be safe to start watching, man.
Yeah, go ahead and watch it, man. It's good shit. And I think Game of Thrones comes back in like April.
May? April. April. Yeah, it usually come around April, May, somewhere around there. Yeah.
That'd be right around the time Beezy take his break. Nah. So we might have
Beezy ain't going. Hey, look, Beezy ain't going nowhere this time, man. He ain't for the, you know. The man, he found a nice little balance with Nappy Afro in life now. And he see, because, you know, tell him, I was like, bro, like, you know, he done found that balance.
He got that sweatshop full of Young Rises now.
Oh, my God. Shit. Speaking of sweatshops, did you know that there was a billionaire check written? Well, billionaire wrote a check for $975 million to his divorced wife. Like, get the fuck out of my life. Here's some money. And she turned it down. Is this shit crazy? Or, you know, it's an oil tycoon. His wife's getting a divorce. He said, here you go. We've been married for 26 years. Here's a check for $975 million. Take it, get the fuck out of my life. And she rejected that and thinks that she's entitled to more money because a couple doesn't have a prenuptial agreement. Jerm, what you think about this shit, man?
Hey, I think if you can give a woman $1 billion in a divorce settlement, good gosh. Like, if I give you $1 billion and it ain't breaking me, oh, my God. Like, that's, whoo, shit.
Mm. Shouldn't that be enough? Like, should she take the check or is she stupid for not taking it?
I mean, she had, like, my Jesus. Woo. I can't imagine that. Man, but I heard she did. Eventually, she took the money. Like, you know. They said she sent it. Hello?
We here. We listening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. They said she didn't take it at first. Like, I wouldn't have took it at first either because I would have been just like, where do you cash a check for $975 million? Like, you can't just go up the street to your local Bank of America. I mean, where do you go?
Shit, at the bank that check was written on. Go to his bank.
That's never a bank we never even heard of.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't have ATMs on the side of the building at that bank.
It's one of the banks where you walk in, they give you champagne and then take you to your seat.
Yes, your key and everything. Banks. You got the key and they're like, hey, I'm good God.
My question is, what do you do when you see that check and say, what do you want when you see that check and say, nah, this ain't enough? Like, what is in your mind to say, you know what, this ain't gonna buy as many hours as I think I deserve to have?
Spite. That's what marriage will do to you, man. Marriage will make you see shit and go fucking retarded. She was married, they getting a divorce after 26 years, this nigga's cakey as fuck, oil tycoon, and she just felt like $975 million ain't hurting you enough, so I'm gonna ask for $2 billion.
Like, these are damn pennies. You know what I'm trying to buy?
Right.
Like, I wanna know. He wrote that check too fast, so you know how much money he got.
Right. She's like, you wrote that. This ain't even the real checkbook. This is the backup checkbook. Fuck you. I want a real check.
This shit like that makes me think, like, what do rich people have, like, that we don't have? Like, $975 million got to be buying you some shit that they even, that won't even be out for us.
I'm buying me a football team, man. What are you talking about?
These people probably got aliens playing football for them. They probably bought a galaxy and some shit with that money.
They probably got real, like, motherfuckers. They probably still got gladiator fights going on their house on Friday nights. All their rich friends come around and see a nigga get ate by a tiger. That shit probably crazy.
Hey, I read a story, man. That shit's real. Like, in certain countries, you can go and pay, like, $20,000 to go shoot a convict in the head. And, like, some back alley.
You could do that. It's
called New York.
You go to Asia. I'm pretty sure they cutting out the flights now. It's like, man, you probably go somewhere in Montana and they got some old missing people you ain't seen in years. You could just, man, hunt these people. Man, I'm trying to tell you, man, I wouldn't doubt it. GQ Blue,
rich come on, people, man. We have enough hunters in this country. It's called cops.
Jesus
Christ. Ooh.
And that's probably who they working for. She's like, $975 million. That'll only buy me the New York Police Department. What about LA?
LA kind of clean the act up, man.
They definitely clean the act up. That whole story is dope. The way that they had the police officers get reinvested into the community. So now that the crime has gone down, the people know the cops know the community. It's a great idea.
As Bunny Colvin would say, that's real police.
This shit needs to happen everywhere. But you got to stop killing people first. And I don't know that we have cops that are willing to stop killing people.
They scared.
Always. You can't always be scared.
I mean, you took a job as a cop. Why are you scared? Like,
exactly. Because you was a scared motherfucker in high school before you became a cop.
And, you know, let me tell y'all a funny story. You know, at my little part-time job, I work at a little, you know, a sports store. And it's a couple of guys there. They want to be cops. But I look at these guys, and I can't imagine these guys as police officers. And I'm just looking at them like, and so I talk to them at work, you know, stuff they say. And I'm just like, man, y'all, you know, I couldn't imagine these guys being police officers. And, you know, I try to enlighten them about the black plight and, you know, that every nigga ain't, you know, trying to kill you. And we more scared of you than you are us. Y'all don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think white people got that memo. Like, we more scared of y'all than y'all us. Like, impossible. Excuse me?
Impossible.
What you mean impossible?
Impossible. There's no way that black people who play sports and rap about drugs all the time are scared of white people.
Yes, every white person they think is. Listen, so you mean tell me, Saul Wright?
Let me go get Saul White. Hold on. Let me go get Saul White, because this.
Yes, please get Saul White. Saul Wright, sit down now.
Yeah, what are you saying, Coon?
Exactly. I'm not saying you scared of some little 5'2" white guy. No, but just white people generally never know. You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to tell me. Hold on, nigga. You trying to tell me that you black people out there shooting and playing sports and hitting each other with the footballs and slapping up each other's baby mamas and you're scared of me?
Exactly, sir. Exactly,
why?
Sir.
Why? Look at,
I just called you, sir. I called you, sir. Look at
well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Now, why are
we
you
have been taught to
me?
Respect from the day we are born. We are turned to, you know, when the white man come around, you straighten up.
Well, that's right. So why are you scared of me?
Hey, because I never know. You might flip off on me some days and shoot me, kill me. I don't know. You might shake my hand or shoot at me. I don't know.
I only shoot you if I'm standing my ground.
Telling you.
If I'm standing my ground, or if you got drugs on you, or if you're a rapper and your pants are sagging, I'll shoot you.
Yeah, but I just want to go home at the end of the day. I just want to go home to my baby mamas and my 7 kids that I don't take care of.
Right. Well, that's fine. And we've got no discussion here. Let me get Saul back on here. Hey, man, look, y'all got to quit calling a nigga to the show. Let's move on with the rest of this shit. Germ's personal hero, well, his second hero of 2015, man. Kevin Gates. Kevin Gates is in the news, bruh.
Who don't get tired.
He don't get tired, bro. He's in the news this week. He should be tired right now because apparently he confessed. He told TMZ that he had a relationship with his cousin.
Mm.
I guess I should set it up properly. He was fucking a bitch. His grandmother told him, hey, don't you know y'all cousins?
People telling them they look alike.
Yeah, people telling them they look alike. And his grandma said, well, you know that's your cousin, baby. And he said, so what? And he kept fucking her. Relationship lasted from 2006 to 2008. And then they kept fucking 2 more years after that.
Oh, so it's not current. I thought it was happening right now.
Well, when he posted the video, he said that he wasn't going to quit fucking her. Like, he's still fucking her. But what he told TMZ later...
I thought they've been together now, yeah.
Yeah, what he told TMZ later is that it was a past date relationship. But when he posted the video talking to shit, he was speaking current. He was speaking present tense when he said, I'm not going to stop fucking her. But then he turned around and tried to clean it up. It probably got a little too hot for him. And he said, yo, that was an old relationship. It was from 2006, 2008. But that brings up the question that I shouldn't have to ask. But this is the Frocast, and this is what we do around here for NappyAfro.com. King Germ.
Mm-hmm.
When you're single, you know, Germ King.
Yeah.
You know, you meet a little chick. Y'all are doing what you do. And people telling you y'all look alike. Come to find out that Papa Germ says, that, hey, you know that's your cousin. What's your move?
Okay, I'm gonna keep it real with you. Back in seventh grade, you know, it was a little neighborhood girl. Everybody was getting, you know, she was the freak in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, shoot, it was my turn. So she was at my house one day, and we was in the kitchen getting some Kool-Aid, you know what I'm saying? And then she seen like a little dish that was like a little cake plate, and it had a stick on it, and it had a old lady name on it. She was like, oh, I know that lady. I said, oh, you know the lady? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, that's my grandma. I said, what? I was like, that's your grandma. And I was just like, dang. Come to find out, on my daddy, that was his mama, and she had made me some oatmeal raisin cookies for my birthday, and I had her cake plate. And I ain't never, you know, and her cake plate was still in my house. I was supposed to take it back. And it just so happened, the neighborhood freak turned out to be my cousin. And I was just like, damn. I ain't first smashing it.
Where was she at? First, second, third cousin?
It was my dad. See, I ain't know my daddy, so I really didn't. I ain't feel no, you know, her my daddy and her mama was brother and sister. So it's like first cousins kind of whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
But I ain't know him, like I said. But I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I ain't do nothing. Like, you know, when she said that, I was just like, it kind of killed the mood. And then it was kind of like, ugh, my cousin is a freak. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. And she was older too, so, you know, anyway. And then another story. At a friend reunion one time, I was probably about 15, 16 at the height of my hormonal, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, peak. And friend reunion, about 130 people there, you know, you see some cousin.
Of course it cuts out when he's telling this story.
Oh, no, it didn't cut out.
Oh, okay.
You don't get tired, so all right.
Right. It just lines his tap, so he had to take a little pause.
Yes.
GQ, jump in right here. Help him out. It same scenario. You know.
First off, is that just part of the black experience, having that family reunion where you're trying to figure out is that really family or not?
Yeah, because we're black and black people are beautiful, and sometimes you see one of them cousins that got all the right from everybody, and you're like, goddamn. Yes.
Like you're not really no blood. You just kind of on the family from, you know, that second, third marriage twice removed.
Now
we
that,
hooked up, it ain't really all that bad.
You got the adopted family members. You all got that cousin that ain't got no relation to nobody. That's your cousin. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of black experience. That's what we do.
Okay. Yeah, can't go with your cousin. Especially for me, being in Kentucky, where y'all already think we don't wear shoes and shit here.
I would tell.
That's a no.
I was wondering. I was like, GQ might not be the one to ask me.
I was waiting. I was waiting on you to give me an opening for that joke, boy. Jesus Christ.
Nope.
Okay, but getting back to my story, because, you know, my wife had walked in, people. Yeah. And so, you know. So anyway, we was at a friend reunion. And so I was just like, you know, this was like, I'm talking about fourth or fifth cousin. You know, so this girl had some, like, she was thick as hell. And I, you know, so I did my research. And I was just like, so we really not kin. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I had ordered like some, this is how stupid I was. I had ordered some porn movies to my room. And like somebody wasn't going to find out, like, oh, yeah, room, whatever, or X-rated movies, wasn't it? I'm trying. My little cousin knocking on the door. And that's the only reason why I got caught. He was like, they won't let me in the door. They won't let me in. So I forgot who it was, came, knocked on the door, find out what we was in there doing. And I got in trouble, man. But yeah, I was about to Kevin Gates up. You know?
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. But like I said, it was like, we went in. It was just like, come on, man. Like,
hey, okay, explain. Like, is she somebody's daughter from a second or third marriage?
It's like my granddaddy and her grandma are like third, fourth cousins. You know what I'm saying? So like, the fuck? Like, you ain't, you know, like...
She's like an eighth cousin. Like an eighth cousin. That shit don't matter.
Yeah, it's like the blood thin as a motherfucker.
So the DNA wouldn't mess each other up?
Hell no, nah, right. It wouldn't be like... They said actually, you can get away with cousins doing that. That won't mess up DNA. They said brothers,
like
sister,
brothers? Yes, like brother, sister.
Yeah, brother, sister, mama, son. Then you looking to have some fucked up shit.
Ugh, that's just disgusting. But Kevin Gates is speaking on this, kind of leads us into our main topic for the show, about rappers and social views and should they keep them to their motherfucking selves. We're going to talk about that after the music break. We got to hit a hell no moment. Now look, I'm not going to act like I can say this name because this comes into the inbox. The name is Aris DeJean. I know that sounds real special.
But that's the way it's spelled. Dijon like the mustard. And the song is called Seasons. So make sure y'all check this out. You can follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on social media. We posted all this on the page. This is the Hit of Hell Now for this week. NappyAfro.com with your man Saul Wright, King German, GQ Blue. We'll be back after the break.
And now it's time for your Procast, NappyAfro.com newest game show, Hit or Hell No. All you have to do is listen to the track, and at the end of the Procast, post your comment, let us know your vote, let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, this week's candidate.
Some say they the best, I don't believe them. I'm about to be the only nigga they believe in. Friends change, money change, every year like seasons. I just came to kill this motherfucker and I'm leaving. Shout out all these rappers trying to be me. Mama said my first word out my mouth was Lamborghini. Thought about my future even when I was a youngin'. Was always into something, never felt like I was nothing. Screaming fuck him, pocket full of knowledge from my brother. Yeah, that's my nigga till the end, there ain't no other. Yeah, I got love for everybody, even if your name ain't mentioned. Been crawling through them trenches, I treat my whole life like a mission. What you missing? I guess a dollar and a dream, with dollars up in these jeans. Ain't nothing ain't what it seems, I'm a mean nigga. Just tryna build a team, nigga. Pledge allegiance to the green, nigga. I got people bumping my shit, I got stations playing my hits. Got their mouth full with my name in it, I took the game when I came in it. A-L-Y-S, the one and only, only. You can rant on my flows, but bitch, you want it, on it. And you could tell that I've been waiting for this moment. Grab my pen and my pad, show me my opponent. Taught myself to never settle. Running tracks on niggas and I'm taking medals. Playing different levels, nigga. Some say they the best, I don't believe them. I'm about to be the only nigga they believe in. Friends change, money change, every year like seasons. I just came to kill this motherfucker and I'm leaving.
Yep. I was just hoping, like, maybe we could take it back. We could take it back to where it all started. Where it all started, you know. You was always little brother. Was always little brother. And I was big brother.
Just
big
two brother. Niggas in a seven.
In a seven.
I would talk, you would listen.
You would listen.
Now you all up in the foster house. You gotta stay, I gotta visit. Now I gotta pay all of these tickets. Cause the parking ain't permitted. Still brought you a couple fitteds. Now go and tell me about the bitches and all about the digits. Said you been riding since it all happened. Fuck, just thinking about it, I remember when it all happened. A lot of bad stuff went down, nothing was the same. It was all my fault, I said nothing never changed. Who would've thought you never called back? Sometimes when you run shit, you gotta crawl back. But I came a long way with all of my niggas. What? Scariest thing for me was watching you get bigger. I created a monster, did everything I taught ya. Now I'm the one feeling the torture. The student became the teacher. From that point on, nigga, I couldn't reach ya. Said you was rapping and they all say that you nice. Say that what? You know me, all I could do is give you advice. You can't take breaks on the come up. You gotta grind till the sun up. With yourself, always keep it 100. You was never scared to give the people what they wanted. Life, nigga, I'm just tripping over nothing. We all tryna turn nothing into something. Went from Civic to BM to condo and Nexus. That thing with the button, these haters is fronting. You way more than a cousin. We like blood, so we blooded. I taught you to be either in or you out. So why am I the one with only one footed? Nigga, big brother's vision. Every time little brother goes missing, I should've never ever dissed him. Arguments about hoes and bitches, but he the king of the mission. I don't wanna be stuck reminiscing. Still drunk sipping liquor in my system. My little nigga back, Lord knows that I missed him. Yeah. Some say that they the best, I don't believe him. I'm about to be the only nigga that they believe in. One and only. French change, money change, every year like seasons.
Every year, nigga.
I just came to kill this motherfucker. And I'm leaving. And bye. I'm leaving.
That's this week's contestant, everybody. Make sure you leave your comment and your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, back to the crew.
All right, so we decided this year when we try and do this, at least for now, we're going to let y'all decide what y'all want to do with the hit or the hell no. So leave your comments, tweet us, let me know what you think of the song. We're going to move right along with the show and get back to this main topic of rappers and social views. So we talked about this. We talked about last year with Killer Mike getting our Man of the Year. We talked about J. Cole making his statements. And then Kendrick Lamar comes around and makes his statement on Ferguson. Did y'all hear what he said?
Yeah.
GQ, this is right up your alley. Please let us know what you think about what he said. And is it so wrong, what he said?
Is it wrong? Yes. If you really wanted to nuance it and really go like super far out, maybe. But do we need to respect ourselves? I mean, I'm pretty sure King was respectable since it's about to be MLK Day this Monday, and we saw what happened to him.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure Megar Evers was respectful. We saw what happened to him.
Wow.
Pretty sure Rosa Parks was respectful. We saw what happened to her.
Wow.
So it's not just because, oh, we're sagging our pants if we pull them up. You know, before it was pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Now it's pull your pants up and everything's going to go right as rain. And that's still not happening. You're talking about a country that's built off of white supremacy and black hatred. And you just saying, I love you to a black person, not going to eradicate that or fix that. I say all that to say this. I still like Kendrick Lamar. I still think Good Kid, M.A.A. City is a classic. I'll still play it. But I think in 2015, I hope one of the biggest things that we could take away as a hip-hop community from Ferguson is the fact that we don't need these large stage celebrity leaders anymore, right? Like, if you look at the movement right now in Ferguson, and if you look at movements, you know, we talked about, you know, we really saw the power of social media was about 2011. We had the Arab Spring and Arab Summer. We had kids in Egypt protesting and marching and everything like that. And it was all kids, man. They were alerting each other. It was social media. You know, folks, you know, with no names were out there, you know, getting the word around, mobilizing, you know, getting out action. They didn't need this one singular leader. I think to me, it's always been, you know, odd or funny that we expect these, you know, deep critical thinkings from dudes who didn't finish school. Kendrick went to high school. I mean, literally, that's like, you know, going out to your uncle on the corner with a 40 in his hand talking about, man, I can't believe you don't know anything about critical race theory. That nigga's on the corner for a reason. But I think before, the difference is, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we only had, you know, so many black people, you know, with a platform. So, yeah, I could see, you know, why you would get mad and want to push somebody to speak on a current trend or topic. But now everybody has a Facebook. Everybody can get their own message out. If you don't like what's being said, I mean, you know, you have the ability to push a person or a message or a thought. And we don't need a Kendrick Lamar anymore. We don't need a Oprah Winfrey. Because Oprah's been getting a lot of flack saying that she doesn't know what the end game is. I mean, but regular everyday folks have been having demands and been having an action plan, but you just don't choose to listen because you're not tuned in. I think to wrap all that up, I think if you're going to set yourself up for failure to get anything deep just because your favorite rapper doesn't say bitch or hoe and doesn't sell drugs, you think that they're this super deep conscious level and can articulate what you want for the movement. You set yourself up for failure.
That's real talk, Jern. What did you think about Azalea Banks going at Kendrick for that shit? For what he said? Because she's been real vocal.
I mean, I don't pay attention to her. I mean, because she, like, she's another one. Like, I wish she would stay off of social media and make music. Like, your whole thing, you want people to hear your music. Well, let me hear some music. I know more about you throwing antics and throwing tantrums and talking shit than I actually heard fucking songs. And that's my problem with her. Like, yo, shut the fuck up, make music. Like, I don't, you know, you keep complaining about, I can't get nowhere, I can't buy my body, you know, stop fucking whining, make music, shut the fuck up. So that's why I really don't, you know, her going to Kendrick, you know, I guess somebody had to, but I wish it wouldn't have been her, you know what I'm saying? And Kendrick, like I said, again, certain rappers don't need to take that fucking, like, I don't want my rappers to give me so, I've been saying it for years. Like, when Jeezy did that fucking Young Jeezy career up, when, you know what I'm saying, when he took that social stance and started, you know, like, I'm telling you, man, that, like, you know, that's what his career, like, where he fucked it up. Like, why did you do that, Jeezy? When you started wearing the Malcolm X glasses, I'll never forgive you for that shit. The Malcolm X glasses, and you talk about a recession. I mean, I understand, you know, it was just like, come on, man, nah. And entertainers, I don't care what you think about social. I don't care. When they tell me some Tiger Woods doesn't speak out, so what? Who cares? Play golf. I don't care what Will Smith think. I don't care what none of these entertainers. Most of these people are creatives, and we know creatives are, you know, you have issues. And issues like, because, you know, you got to be all about yourself if you create things and artists, you know, artists in a whole are fucking like narcissistic motherfuckers, and I don't care what you think. You know what I'm saying? That's not a bad thing. You're supposed for you to have to draw some shit or make some shit, create some shit, you have to be a bad motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And usually you don't. You know, I don't know. You don't get well. You don't play well with others. And that's why these guys get on TV and say dumb shit. And are you surprised? Like, you know, I mean, 2 Chainz, I think he handled his well the other night with Nancy Grace. I don't know if you saw that. They was talking about
true.
Yeah. That shit sneaking was funny, geek. You know what I'm saying? You know, but like I said, he didn't, you know, he kind of tried to, you know, like, yeah, I'm very educated. Like, 2 Chainz, stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where this 4.0 came from. Like, I heard that
he went to college and graduated, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, also,
but the 4.0, this in high school? Because it couldn't have been in college. I don't believe 2 Chainz had 4.0 in college. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? I'm not buying it. You know, nope. Sorry.
Is 2 Chainz fast 40 yet?
No, he's the same age as B-Eazy. He's a little younger than Saul Wright, but he's about, yeah, he's older than B-Eazy and a little younger than Saul Wright, so somewhere in there.
And also, too, for all y'all incense burners who were on Kendrick's jock and fell out of love with him and want to go around Azalea Banks as the new progressive leader, y'all might want to fall back. Because she said some really messed up stuff about gay people. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of love her critiques on race in America. But, yeah, but if you scroll down a few tweets further, man, like, fuck these faggots. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of my thing. Like, I don't have a problem with athletes or celebrities or entertainers making social comments. I think that's, you know, it was people like Tommy Smith and John Carlos and Muhammad Ali, who brought a lot of these social issues up front using athletes and athletics as their platform. Go ahead.
And at that time, that was needed. But I don't think that, like I think that we think that these guys are supposed to have, like, care. Like, these guys are, I think we put too much on them. Like, they just because we give them so much attention and put you on TV and pay you millions, you know, you should, maybe, why do we, you know, Why do we think they should care about what's going on in Ferguson? You know, like,
well,
Why should LeBron speak on it? What's LeBron gonna do?
Well, I mean, just like GQ said, at the beginning of the day, you're black. So if there's something that's happening in the black community that you think you need to speak on, more power. Now, if you decide to be somewhat of a billboard for it, if you're LeBron and you're wearing the I Can't Breathe shirt, when someone brings you the question, don't punk out like a bitch.
Did he punk out?
Yeah, he said some bullshit about, I just wanted to, you know, support the family.
See?
And if that's your stance, then don't fucking wear the shirt. Because that's not what the fuck the shirt was for. You didn't wear that shirt to support the family. You wore that shirt because you know it's fucked up. And you have three black kids? Mm. That could be in that same situation. That's why you wore the fucking shirt. But once they bring you, you know, the microphone, then you decide to punk out and sleek away, and you don't want to lose Nike or Gatorade and be one of them people. So you decide to punk out, and I think that's some bullshit.
Did he do the same thing for Trayvon? Didn't he do some shit like that?
Yes! He wore the hoodie, and when they asked about the hoodie, he had no comment. Like, this is the same shit. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have a problem with these people, you know, making a stance. However, when you're going to post it up in social media like Azalea Banks, like GQ just pointed out, understand that now that you're making a statement, people are going to watch your statements. So if Lupe Fiasco was out here being a beacon for the community with Kick Push and I'm a slave to my label and all this other bullshit, and then someone comes out and says something to you, your first response shouldn't be like, fuck you. That shouldn't be your first response. You know what I'm saying? You need to do better. It should be a well-rounded argument. Him and Azalea are going in and out, too, and all that shit's ridiculous. And some of these cats shouldn't be saying anything at all. If you're talking about selling drugs on every five albums, like you said about Jeezy, don't come in here talking about respectability. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't really have a problem with – I feel like they're not required to. I agree with you, Jerm. Yeah. I don't think they're required to. But I feel like you're black first. And if there's an issue that you could point out, you should. Derrick Rose, we should have been hearing about him forever. Chicago alone.
Exactly.
He should be the poster boy for everything wrong in Chicago.
He don't give a shit about all them dead boys in Chicago.
But he came out wearing that shirt, though, when his first game back. He felt like making a statement then. I can't breathe now.
Because he said, I rock Adidas. Ain't none of them niggas rocking Adidas, man. I don't care.
Yeah, because their legs work. People who have working limbs don't wear Adidas. That's how this shit works.
Play soccer.
Right. Maybe he have a better time being, you know, healthy with that shit. But a lot of people have asked, and I even had somebody ask this on my Facebook page. I'm getting so tired of trying to explain this shit to people. Respectability politics. If I do better and respect myself, then other people will treat me better and we'll do better as a people. That shit. And people are actually saying, what's so wrong with that? GQ, can you please try and articulate this for the people one more time? I know we've said it on several shows. You even said it a little bit earlier. But please explain respectability politics and the problem with that for the people.
Because it don't work. I mean, that's the most simplistic part of it. Secondly, you have to respect black life to respect black people in the first place. So if you don't respect black life, if it's in a suit or some sagging pants, it's not going to be that much different. Like they say, you can put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig.
Yeah.
That's how you view black people. I mean, you might see me less as a threat, so you might not shoot me, but you're not going to give me the same opportunity you're going to give your white counterpart. And third, I mean, just statistically, we've already seen that even with an equal level of education and experience, statistically on average, a black person makes 70 cents to the white man's dollar, so 30% less. So when Saul Wright and Saul White go to the same school for the same degree and get the same position or same in the same field, Saul White just by whiteness on average is going to make more than Saul Wright. No matter how many suits Saul Wright wears, no matter how many times Saul Wright cuts his beard down so it's not as menacing. he's, you know, as adorable he can look at his selfies, it's not going to help him. And then for the fact, too, when you hear things for the fact that, you know, white convicts have a better chance of getting a job than a black man with a college degree. Those things are real. Right, these are things that have been studied and quantified. So it's not about us respecting us; it's about them respecting us.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, too, that's a false fallacy that black people don't respect black people. one of the things I hate is the fact that where were you on black crime? One, again, crime is based off proximity.
Right.
We still live in a segregated society, so for the most part, black people are still around black people, so black people criminalize other black people more than other people criminalize black people, just like white people are not out here just getting assaulted black people.
And don't forget the fact that black people that kill black people go to jail for killing that black person.
Yeah.
They're not walking
yeah.
the streets. There's no justified homicide never when black on black crime. you know, so.
That's getting wrapped up in less time than an episode of Suits. we had that shit figured out. Oh, Jerb kills all right, done.
Right. I mean, they got a whole, you know what, since all this shit happened, I can't watch shows like Another 48. I can't watch that shit no more. I can't watch Cops because it's there. Like, I see this shit every day. I don't have to watch the shows anymore. So when you watch another 48, that is like heartbreaking shit now. Because they own that shit. They got to the point to where within that hour show, they've solved 4 or 5 murders. Going to the same group of people. And this shit is ridiculous, man. I think the other thing about what you're saying, GQ, that people don't seem to realize is that when you start making those comments about if I respect myself, then somebody else will respect me, there's a myth that you're in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in a white privileged, white power society. That's where the fuck we're at. They're running shit. White superiority, that's how it goes. And so we don't control the shit. We see that with the cops shooting motherfuckers every day that are following orders. I think I talked about this on the last show, Germ. Brother was about to go to jail. They was about to send him up to do 5 or 10 for evading cops, assaulting an officer, all kinds of shit. And when they get the dashboard cam, they finally get a hold of the dashboard cam. It shows that he had his hands up the whole time, and they assaulted him.
Mm.
They whooped his ass.
Mm.
So we're not in control of the situation. And I think that that's the other part of it. And that's probably why we get so much pushback from white folks is saying that, you know, it's not as bad and it doesn't exist because you feel like you have to take responsibility for the bullshit. You benefit.
And then, too, let's not act like it's not big business to police black people and black and brown bodies. Right. If you talk about this whole work stoppage in New York. Oh, we're not going to write citations anymore. You think that that city's worried about, oh, we need stability in our city. We need money, goddammit.
That statement alone should be enough to make people riot. The fact that you said that, you know what, we're tired of the way de Blasio is running things. We're going to stop writing up tickets and arresting black people. What? That's your primary? So that's why you were doing it anyway? That should be enough for people to kick down. Hey, throw a trash can through a window for that shit.
Yeah. But something I was going to say earlier, too, is the fact that I hate when people say, oh, what are you going to do about black-on-black violence? And maybe that hits home to me because I'm, you know, I try to be really active in my city about the different things that we're doing to try to make our city better. Mm-hmm. But I know that Louisville's not unique in that, right? I know that they're doing that in St. Louis. I know there's programs that their community partners involved to address some of the certain things going on in our backyard, as it were. I mean, that's not unique to anywhere. That's everywhere. Black people are always the first ones to respond and call ourselves out before anybody else does. Shit, we're harder on us than anybody else is because we know that if we're not hard on us, you know, the ramifications because y'all ain't going to give a damn.
Yeah, that's real talk. And you know, the other part of Kendrick's comment, and this is my first thought when he said that bullshit, was if white people meet a black person that has a little bit too much respect and self-esteem, he's an uppity Negro. So either way, you fucking done, man. You have no option. You have no option. And so we need to change that narrative, man. For everybody who's saying that you feel the same way, respect yourself and they respect us, kill yourself and we won't kill you. How about that? Jern, we got you keeping 100. You know what I'm
Can
saying?
Can I say one more thing?
Please do. We got you on the show, man.
Maybe, and again, you got to really, you know, nuance this thing out. Maybe if we had respect enough in ourselves to actually believe in ourselves, maybe that would work, right? So don't always believe that, you know, black people are just these outlandish, wild buffoons that just can't get right. Maybe actually believe that you come from a proud and mighty people who have done more for this country than anybody could ever possibly comprehend or understand. Maybe that kind of respect. And you wouldn't make these comments about, oh, well, if I just pull my pants up, they'll stop killing us.
Hey, didn't Kendrick Lamar in Good Kid, Mad City, didn't he make a line about the cops won't respect us anyway? Like, wasn't he talking about the problem that no one gives a fuck and you just trying to make it in this world?
And that's my thing, too. I think one thing that we do, I mean, because art's subjective, right? And when we hear art, it can connect with us because, hey, man, I was remember that that situation, it was really messed up, and it speaks to me in a certain way, and it kind of can blend into your line of thinking, right? So for me, when I was talking about this with some friends this weekend, it's like, I think Kendrick was this radical progressive dude. I think Kendrick was a kid in Compton who was trying to make it out, who saw he was in a fucked up situation, and he's just glad he made it. Now, does that mean that because he made it, he respects the struggle? I mean, Clarence Thomas made it. You see how that worked out?
Wow.
not calling Kendrick Clarence, but I'm definitely going to call him Huey P. Newton either. I just think for some people, just because their narrative kind of fits our beliefs and our experience, it doesn't necessarily mean that they see it that way. Because art's subjective. You can take it out where you want to.
Yeah, good point. That's valid. You know, K-Dot, you know, come fuck with this man on the Frocast.
You know, I know you listen.
Nappy Afro, we have billions and billions of fans. I know that you can come down here and clear things up. We even have Azalea Banks on here for you. Y'all can talk it out.
Open mic.
Y'all got to do. Open mic, man. Say what y'all got to say. Drop a few bars. And you can even do a drop for nappyafro.com in the Frocast. We'd appreciate it. Jerner, we got your Keep It 100. It's back. We're going to get the intro music in. The people are asking for the intro music. So we're going to bring that back. We got the Keep It 100 topic.
Some new intro music, man. Some new intro music, man.
No. We don't have budget for that. Sorry. Yeah, this week it'll be the old intro music. Maybe next week we'll talk to our benefactor, see if we can get some more music. but let's go ahead and get it in the Keep It 100. We'll holler at y'all in a second.
No cuff, no canes, no gates. Just gay. No cuff, no canes, no gates. Just gay.
Misconception, though. Folk really think I'm stupid as hell. I like that.
I'm gonna keep it real. Usually I keep it, you know, when you see me in the white tee, it's because, you know, that's just that hood in me. You know what I'm saying? I could have put on the nicest shirt, but fuck it.
Okay, well, the first thing, I don't care about no recognition and all that. I want some money. You know what I'm saying? Keep your recognition. I ain't like all these dudes who up here tap dancing and bootlegging and square bopping. I'm about the money.
So the topic this week, Jerma, and I will go ahead and say that I put this out there because I thought this was an interesting topic. The scientists have been diligently working on things very important to us, like stem cells and squirters. Apparently, scientists are saying that squirting is essentially the involuntary emission of urine during sexual activity. Let me break that down for you real quick. Even though they could become a little bit, there's a lot of pee is what you get. That's what's coming out, the ejaculate that you thought she busted the nut cuz. Hey, what's up, Plies? She pissing on you. Jeremy, I need you to speak on this.
Cause allegedly. Because I
live for the squirters.
The whole phenomenon of squirting. Well, according to some articles, they say it's been around for thousands of years. But let's be honest, people, the internet porn era has brought squirting to the forefront. And niggas, you know, I mean, listen, if you fucking a chick and, you know, you fucking the shit out of her and she is so satisfied that she lose control of herself and she pees on you, hey, my nigga, wear that around you know, huh? There's a Buckeye for you. You know what I'm saying? But
you gonna stick out your helmet, pause?
Yeah. But to all the niggas out there, there's, oh, I love a girl squirting my face and, she's peeing in your face. You can't pick on R. Kelly no more. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just the same. You know what I'm saying? You're on the same. So I don't want to hear any more R. Kelly jokes because, yeah, like that's disgusting. And we had a big article on that site about that. I mean, a big post on that site about that. And, you know, people in there, oh, that's not. It comes from, you know, where it comes from. It doesn't come from there. It's this. And we were trying to let them know, like, listen, where is this fluid? They didn't pretty much got the human anatomy mapped out by now. And if there was another little sack that's hold a special area of fluid, we would know where this stuff comes from. And you know, like, where is this fluid come from? And how are you shooting it across the room? Once we found out that it came out of your urethra, it's piss. Period. That's the only thing it can be. You know, like, oh my God. So keep on having with you people. Ain't no late. If you're still into that stuff, stay into it. But now that we know what it is, you know, I'm good on that. You know, you ain't no better than your 4-year-old just peeing in the bed. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just saying. So, you know, keep on with you. You squirters, it's piss. It's not female ejaculate. It's probably 10% ejaculate, 90% pee. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Damn. Yeah, I think that all the porn that you watch that has squirting, I always believe that was piss anyway.
Jada fired. That's why I don't like her. That's why I was like, ugh.
I mean, they piss as soon they come in the door. As soon as they take their jaws off, they squirting. I'm like, you ain't even did
nothing.
She
just rubbed it one, two times, and she just like, oh. I'm just like, come on.
As soon as jaws come
off. Jada fires me. She scares me.
Why would you be scared of Jada Fire?
It's pineapples. It's your boy Kevin Hart. I say, like she just be doing too much. Like she probably like, you know, she probably suck your dick and stick your finger in her ass. She just do too much to you. She's like, oh,
I feel like she's definitely done that before.
So you saying she's on All Madden, Jerm?
Oh my God! Listen, she is like, she is like top, like ranked in the, you know, she pasta padre top, you know, like she made.
Nigga, did you just call her Pasta Padre?
Yes.
So she's like Mike Tyson on Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Madden King, man. She on the show. I'm telling you, man. She on like the little. They have like a reality show. She on that one. The Madden Champions. Yes, man.
Nigga, you said Pasta Padre though.
Yes,
holy shit. Nigga, that's a gaming reference for your ass. God damn. I think it's amazing that we ended up bringing Pasta Padre into a squirting segment. This is why Nappy Afro on the Frocast is the best shit out there, period. It's the best, period. I think it's time to wrap up with these folks. We're going to talk to them for a little over an hour or so. Jerm, you got your winners and losers for this week, bro?
My winners this week, I'm going to go with the Ohio State Buckeyes, man. No, excuse me. The Big Ten. The Big Ten Conference, because you've been vindicated. You've been a joke for the past decade, and now you got a national champion, and you think your conference is back to respectability. So congrats to you guys. Y'all beat the mighty SEC, and y'all the champions now, and, you know, people, you know. So, like I said, for the past 10 years, your whole conference has been a joke, and Ohio State, you know, let's be honest, y'all, this is that title y'all got in the 02, y'all didn't really win that. So, you know, we're going to take that one off the books. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Do you feel a certain kind of way because of your coach?
Oh, no. Man, listen, I felt like that the first half. But once at halftime, when old Herb said, oh, yeah, now it's all about, when he said, oh, now it's all about adjustments, we're going to see what they're going to set up. I said, that's the old coach right there. He about to win this game, man. And, you know, I ain't feel bad for him. You know, like, I was bitter. But then, you know, like, I thought about it. Like, you know, you won two titles for us. You know, you moved on. I moved on. Like, you know, man, it's all good, man.
What about your losers?
My losers this week, I'm going to go with the people that made Selma, man. I mean, even though it was a good movie, I ain't like y'all putting MLK in that light, man. Like, it was a little too real. It was a little too real. Like, when MLK had side...
Hold on, man. Spoilers.
No spoiler alert. I just said he had side chick drama. That's all I said in the movie. And I was just like, wow. Like, yo, that shit crazy. Like, MLK got side chicks? And, you know, so, yeah.
Damn.
So, Ava DuVernay. I think that's who the person who made it. And Brad Pitt has something to do with it. I don't know why Brad Pitt keep fucking with these black movies. Maybe he got some guilt. You know, I know he got a black son now and shit, so, or whatever. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he got a black kid in his house. So maybe he's doing this for him or her or whoever, you know. So.
I think he got a little transgender kid, too.
Oh, shit.
Man. He got like a 5-year-old girl that wants to be called John or some shit like that.
Oh, man. And they going to let him. See, man,
of course, she out there with a suit on.
Oh, my fucking God, man.
Hey, man, what you got to do, man?
Hey, white people need to be stopped, bro.
Stop, man. GQ Blue, you got your losers this week, bro.
Man, shout out for Brad Pitt for keeping an open mind, that's all I'm going to say. my winner, like I announced at the beginning of the show, Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, who's kind of like a guy, MVP, regular season MVP. I got two losers.
He won the MVP?
Yeah, he won the MVP.
Oh, shit.
Two losers, one personal, one national, or international, actually. One loser is the person who got in my inbox on Facebook at 12:05 last night, saying he didn't want to be my friend no more because I did not repost his music on my page.
Shout him out. What's his name?
Yeah, at that nigga. Name names, nigga.
Young Toothpick. Yeah. Yeah, don't do that to me. Don't, no. If you want your 15 seconds of fame, yeah, you sent me one link.
We'll hit a hell no next week so he can see how garbage he is.
You sent me one link. You made it sound like you sent me multiple links. You sent me one. So yeah,
that's, way that's, to go. That's, you lost a friend.
That's loser tactics. So sorry, sir. Toothpick. Yeah, I'm not listening to Bourbon Chicken. Sorry, that's the name of the album.
You don't like Bourbon Chicken?
No, that's the name of his album. It's a reggaeton album.
Oh, I'm about to say, yeah,
like Bourbon Chicken.
By Young Toothpick.
Young Toothpick, though. I mean, come on.
My second loser is Charlie Hebdo. I'm not Charlie Hebdo. I support free speech and I think it's horrible anytime anybody's murdered. But yeah, you guys post racist ass cartoons. That does not resonate with me. So no non je suis Charlie. As for me, it would be Jeunesse Sweet Pie Charlie, so I'm not Charlie Hebdo, which points to the bigger fact that we have covered this travesty. We have not covered the travesty in Nigeria with Boko Haram, with all those murders. We see where the media goes, where they want to put their attention at. And once again, we do not seem to regard black life in the same regard as white life. So it's all messed up, man. And also, for Kyle to ask Muslims, are they terroristic? All these Christian folks can get out here and kill a million people, and it's always just because, oh, it's a travesty, not holding them accountable. So that's fucked up. That's loser. That's loser shit. Loser tactics.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Fuck that shit. My winners and losers this week. Meek Mill. Meek Mill is my winner this week because he's dating Nicki Minaj, apparently, and she's in love.
Hi, Nicki.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, Nicki. They apparently in love, so she done moved on from Safari, who apparently dropped he got a song out, and apparently it sounds just like Nicki Minaj. I don't know how to take that one. But Meek Mills is out here doing Nicki Minaj, so good shot, bro. Good luck with that.
Hey, yo, man, can I say something real quick on
of
that?
Of course.
Like, Nicki, the nigga fresh out of jail. Like, he still smell like prison. The fuck?
Like, hey, you know, some of them like them roughnecks. Ain't that, you know, they like them thugs. I mean, I guess it's what she wants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if Nicki, I think we need to reevaluate life. If Nicki Minaj is choosing Meek Mill and your girl is picking Wiz Khalifa, I think we need to figure out how come we ain't get a shot. That's all I'm saying.
Who got Wiz?
No, the one Amber Rose divorced him or whatever the fuck that situation is. Like, they picking down is what I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. You average niggas need to get your game up.
Yes, man.
Common is definitely my winner this week for his speech at the Golden Globes. I think it's dope that he said that I'm the kid that maybe needed a hand but instead got a bullet. Common is out here doing his thing. I don't know. Common was always listed as a conscious rapper. So for him to say that his soul was awakened, maybe that means we'll get a better album too. Maybe he'll speak out more. You know, I don't know.
Hey, look, Common not making music no more, dog. He was in Selma. He not listening. He done.
It's over?
He loving that shit. He's nice. Man, listen. He's done. Like, you can't go back to making music. I mean, you making Hollywood, like, Hollywood now. Like, man, stop. Nah, yeah. Man, he done.
I got to give him props.
He good at it, though. He good at it. He's not like, you know, he busting his chops. He ain't, like, just going in and getting roles because he who he is. He's actually, you know, working his, you know, owning his craft. So, you know, I give him props on that.
He's definitely a better actor than he is at giving interviews.
Comedy's
way too happy to give him interviews, and it's...
And
no.
Music.
Oh, come on, damn.
I mean, I feel like if he put anything out, it would be more Electric Circus than B.
I still think EC was dope, though.
For the Bohemian bro on the forecast, I feel like it's more Universal Mind Control than Finding Forever.
Yeah, you may have hit a note there. Shit. My losers this week for the same movie. The fact that the Golden Globes gave Selma one Golden Globe, and that was for the song by Common. You know, it kind of just lets us know that these ain't our awards. You know what I'm saying? It's not for us.
I don't want to win no awards on no slave and these racist movies, man.
Fuck, they give us awards for the slave movie.
That's
they won't give
saying.
Us awards
why,
for a black leader.
We can win. Like, come on.
That's
man.
Why we should have won for Selma.
Selma, nah, man, no.
It's not a slave movie.
Yes, it is. You gotta see it. It's a lot of hatred, man, in that movie, man.
It's not glory.
It's, hey, it's not listen, Amistad.
Hey, all right. And niggas getting their shit handed to them, son. Like.
It was called Bloody Sunday for a reason. But I
We got to do better, man. We need to. I don't know what the answer is if we're going to have our own show again, but the Golden Globes definitely ain't for us. Another loser for this week for me is the AP, the Associated Press, the American Press. They cited the terrorists that we were talking about, the Paris incident.
Mm-hmm.
They cited
the Associated Press or the American Press? All right.
Which the Associated one? Press.
Okay.
they cited that one of the terrorists was a hip-hop lover.
Oh, okay.
As you know, the description. I don't know why that was relevant, but they felt the need to point that out. So yet again, in a fucking tragedy that happens, this ain't even on our soil. We got to point out that hip hop is a fucking victim. Hip hop that killed a lot of motherfuckers. You know that? Yes. Hip hop is the number one killer in the world. I just want that to be known. And another sort of lighthearted loser. I got a bunch of losers this week. Daniel Wilson. Apparently, this motherfucker was caught. Well, he was caught because his dumb ass ran a red light and had an accident driving drunk. The reason that he's a loser is because he got caught doing this after he was suspected of stealing money from a gas station. So you got caught after you got away with some bullshit and then you hit a parked car. So he got charged with intoxication, unauthorized use of a propelled vehicle, and they said, oh, by the way, we caught you on tape stealing some money. So this nigga is definitely a loser, three-time loser. One accident.
Speaking of losers, my loser is the dude who was cheating on his wife, and she cut his penis off, and he went to the hospital to get his song back on, and she snuck back in to cut off again.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God.
You fucked up on the wrong one.
And you know she ain't cut it in the same place twice, so that probably she probably fucked him up, son.
But think about it, man. You got your meat cut off. You know, you all in a
panic. Stop, man. That shit hurt, man. Stop, man. Stop. Don't even talk about that, man. God, dog, man.
Oh, yeah, he's a loser.
Right. Ooh, shit, man. Damn.
That's the ultimate failure.
Hey, was I the only one that got pain sending up their nuts then when you were talking about that story, man?
As soon as he said that shit. Jeez.
I was just like, yo, man, what is this little pain? Like, why it won't stop? Like, I'm just like, yo, shit.
God damn.
You know, this coming from a nigga that got one of my nuts removed. You know, that shit hurt. Well, I know pain down there, nigga. Lord have mercy.
Damn, they ain't put you to sleep or nothing?
Yeah, of course I got put to sleep. But the pain going there, nigga, that was the worst pain of my life, nigga. Lord Jesus.
Damn. They had to wheelchair you out? You couldn't walk. I assume you couldn't walk.
Dog, I woke up in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, man. It was just like this. I mean, it was just like a pain in my nuts. Boy, I was just like, oh, shit. And it was like I just jumped up. And I was just like, oh. Went to the bathroom, and I was just like, oh. And I was just sitting there on the side of the tub, man. Because, you know, the tub was cold, man. I was just sitting there. I was just like, oh, God, what's going on? And I was just sitting there, and I was just like, I thought I had an STD. But I was like, man, I ain't fucked nobody in, like, year, nigga, like they ain't got no STD, so I ain't know what was going on. So I was just like, oh shit. And so after about an hour of just excruciating pain, man, I said, yo, well, my grandma up. I said, yo, grandma, you gotta take me to the hospital, man. She's like, what's wrong? I said, my nuts. She said, what? I said, my nuts. I was just like, you know, grandma, you know, that was just like, man, that shit was bad, man.
But
they had
to
do surgery that day. Like, it was just like, no, we gotta do surgery right now. And I was like, God dang. I went from 0 to 100 real quick. Like, I was just in the basketball court playing basketball. Now I'm getting my motherfucking nuts removed. Like, Lord have mercy. Shit was sad, man.
Oh, in case anybody wanted to know, the dude's name was Fan Lung.
Fan Lung?
He is Chinese. This happened in China.
Oh, okay.
Stop it, Germ. Don't do that. Don't do it.
I didn't cut off much, bro.
I knew you was going to do that shit. I knew you was going to do that shit, man.
He probably had a sharp-ass blade, too, boy. Oh, fucking... what is it? Hattori Hanzu.
Hattori Hanzu sword?
Yeah.
You ain't shit, man. We definitely get taken off the head for this episode.
Yes.
Give our shout-outs, man, so we get up out of here. Go ahead, King Jerry, because you know GQ Blue going to be all positive and uplifting.
Yes, man. You know, shout out to the nation, man. Shout out to everybody. Heard a certain person got some, they're going to be posing in a bikini coming up. Yes, yes.
Be easy to decide to go ahead and take the plunge, huh?
Huh?
Be easy to decide to go ahead and take the plunge, huh? Oh.
Anyway, man. So, yeah. So yeah, man. Shout out to the nation, man. Everybody, man. Fuck with the fro, man. That's about it, man. I'm gonna go light this week, man. I mean, shout out GQ Blue for coming back, man. You know, I mean, damn. Shout out to Blue.
Thanks for having me back. You know, I thought I was gonna have a little rust, but I think I held my own.
Yeah, man. You kept your membership current. You know what I'm saying? We were just about to send out the
drone
email, like,
yeah. Send out the drone to get your ass up out of here, yo.
shout out to Welch's. Welch's, if you are not aware, has this awesome drink on the market now. It is Starfruit Kiwi.
We got a new sponsor.
It is bottled white privilege, I'm telling you. Every sip, your credit score goes up by half a point.
Let me get a case.
So shout out to Welch's. I went and got the Welch's grape juice, but I saw that I had to try it, and again, It was like prosperity in a glass. So
Simply Lemonade get put out a tropical fruit and a fruit punch. Simply they got a Simply Tropical Punch and a Simply Fruit Punch. Hot, fresh on the market. Just seen it at Walmart, $2.50 for a nice size bottle. You know what I'm saying?
but if you would like to talk to Dad with a nice glass of wind, get you this Welch's Starfruit Kiwi Juice. Hey Q. Shout out to the mob. I had my fifth Founders Day Friday, so that was pretty cool. Shout out to everybody that rocks with us. Shout out to Germ and Saw Right, always holding it down. Shout out to the boss man, Be Easy. Shout out to everybody else on the staff, all the new guys, the old guys. And that's about it. Shout out to black people because they shit on us anyway, so we got to love each other. So I'm done.
Damn, man. I ain't got no shout-outs this week. Just want to remind the people that you can call us at 347-201-2572. Again, that is 347-201-2572. Leave us a message. Let us know your thoughts on the show, your thoughts on the hit of Hell Nah. If you have a suggestion for a show or you just want to say something to us, holler at us on that number. Or you can email us by just hitting the Contact Us page at the top of nappyafro.com. We are all across social media. You know where to find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, blackpeoplemeet.com,
Snapchat,
Tumblr, Snapchat,
Christian Mingle,
all that. We everywhere, man. It's nappyafro.com. We're going for awards this year, so make sure you share the show, let people know what you think, and we will holler at you next time on nappyafro.com. Yes, sir.
Hold on, sir. Right. Speaking of Founders Day, tomorrow will be Nappy Afro's Founders Day. I just thought about this shit. Tomorrow the 15th, man.
Woo! Shit.
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah,
well, when people hear this episode, we will be smooth past.
Yes. 15. Just, you know, I didn't want to,
make sure y'all say happy birthday to the site in the comments.
Yeah,
so, man. We expect to see some of y'all. We expect to see Mad Static, Thekka Jones, RT3, the entire staff. We expect to see y'all.
I want
to
see some infamous F and some VG.
Spazida Mazane.
Real quick.
Look. What was it with that? Something Mac or something like that?
We're all the way back.
Real quick. What's been y'all favorite part moment being on the site?
Germ, you got...
For y'all veterans.
Mine was just like the Peabody, man. Mine's still the email that this MF to the death sent to us. That shit was early in the Nappy Afro site. And he was just like, this was like the first internet troll I ever came in contact with. He was upset with something Peabody had said on the site. He was like, if I ever see him on the street, I'm going to whoop his ass. And I was just like, damn. Like, and so whoever it was MF to the death. And that shit still to me has been the funniest shit ever. Like, I don't care.
You say he's going to catch the fade, nigga.
Yes. He was just like, if I ever see him on the street. And so that has always just been funny to me, man.
Shit, I don't know if I have a favorite moment. Like, I like a lot of the shit we do. I still think that call that we had, our first trying to be productive call where we had everybody on the phone. And we just kicked it for an hour laughing. That shit was stupid as fuck. Yeah, but it was hilarious. Like,
Yeah, it was like, because it was like the lag, and then it was just so funny.
Man. It was so horrible. If you want to know struggle, try and get like 8 motherfuckers together on Skype calls all across the world, nigga. This shit was horrible.
It was funny, though, because like, people didn't have their headphones in. It was an echo, and it was just crazy, man.
And any show where we tried to have Dub on, definitely top. Dub has the worst connection. No.
I forgot about the B-Eazy versus P from the D debate about Nas and Jay-Z. It was like me and Verbose was like mediating, and that shit was so funny.
God damn. So much shit that we haven't even on the site. I know he got it. He ain't said he got to send that shit
in. It did, because my audio was all fucked up. I was all loud, and they was laughing. And this shit was crazy, man. This shit was funny, though.
This is dope, man. What about you, GQ?
A lot of my moments are before I got to the site when I was just rocking with y'all as a lurker. Know Your Sweet Spot. That episode is still a classic.
Christ, nigga. That nigga Jeremy be on stage.
Also, it's an episode where Jeremy, you was mad at somebody. And I don't know if that was in character or not, but you was just like, man, fuck you, Arnold. I don't know if he was for real, man. Like, I never figured that out. I was like, damn, this dude really hates this cat.
Arnold's an asshole, man. Arnold is, I forgot him. He was like a Nappy Afro troll, man. Arnold, man. He was a ruthless motherfucker, man. Then, Arnold getting your shit, nigga.
I think for me, being on the site, my favorite one was probably the episode where we just, everybody just shit on Spread Germs for fucking up with the fantasy site.
Oh, my God.
That was like my second, that was like my third or fourth Frocast.
Yeah, he didn't just fuck up the fantasy site. He fucked up the page. He took the page hostage.
Yeah.
I wasn't having that shit. That was when I became yellow.
That's when
I was showing up. That nigga was mad as fucking me for no reason. No, he came right after me. I was like, I didn't even have shit to do with it. He immediately came after me. I was like, God damn. Yeah. It was good times, man. NappyAfro.com. That shit was so ridiculous. If you could have seen the emails, I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because I didn't even get into the shit till like 6 emails in. And that nigga was going ham.
He was going through some stuff right then, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, listen, bruh. You know, that's why me and him talked about it. You know what I'm saying? They ain't putting nobody's business out there. But, you know, like, PTSD is real, bruh. Like, you know. And you know what I'm saying, whatever that is, that little stress, you know, all that shit real. Stress.
Yeah, I apparently have a punch in the face because that nigga was ready for me. By the time I said something, I'm like, man, that don't make no sense. Man, fuck you, Saul Wright, with your yellow ass. I'm like, whoa, hey.
He was showing your yellow. He was just like,
whoa. Turn it down a notch. Like, shit. Hey, man, it's been real, man. NappyAfro.com. We're going to be here for another 35 years, so y'all might as well deal with us. Make sure y'all sharing the episode. Let people know you can support us on iTunes by downloading the show and share the link on Facebook and on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Ain't that shit. So, you know, we keep getting these sponsors like Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. And,
what other sponsors we got? We just got a sponsor with Welch's.
Yeah, Welch's.
Yeah, we got Welch's now.
What'd you say? A glass of privilege?
Hey, glass of white privilege.
Hey, man.
Your credit score goes up with half a point every sip.
Boy, I'm gonna use that at work tomorrow. Them boy, them crackers gonna be upset when I say that one.
They gonna start buying the Welch's just so you can't. And what? They're selling it now? Yeah, it's gonna be a problem, man. So
let me call my manager.
We'll holler at y'all in the next episode, man. This is NappyAfro.com. We'll be out. Peace.
Peace.
Good shit.
Yes, sir. Oh, still man. Got it.
Yeah. You know, you did good job. Good job, that young boy.
Yeah, what's up? This is PTZ, aka The Thriller Man, tuning in to Nappy Afro to get the hottest and honest reviews. So if you're at work or at home, you can't go wrong. Hit up Nappy Afro. Deuces.
NappyAfro.com.